is love is love. And you the only one made me feel alright in the middle of the night. I had a million suitors, ain't nobody true. Yeah, you, baby. Hear my body speak, and your vibe what I've been seeking. Someone asked me why, I told him I don't need a reason. No, I don't need a reason. No, no. Love is love is love is love.
Welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. Today is Wednesday, October 30th, and you know what that means. Tomorrow is Halloween, so happy Halloween, everybody. And we are broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia, Vancouver campus, from unceded and stolen Musqueam territory. Indigenous voices in so-called Canada have been systematically devalued and diminished, and this cannot go unacknowledged in broadcast media such as radio. To hear more, please listen to Unceded Airwaves from CITR's Indigenous Collective. My name is Serena. I'm the host, and I'm joined in the studio today by some lovely people. If you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Django.
Hi, Django.
Hi, I'm Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, I'm...
And this is Maya.
Maya, hello.
Hey, Maya. All right, guys, so we have a couple things to talk about today. We've done a lovely interview with J.W. Francis and Jaguar Sun over the weekend on Sunday at the Biltmore. So thank you so much to those artists and for their production team for coordinating that interview.
And Dave.
And Dave. And shout out to Dave, the drummer of Jaguar Sun, a true homie. Honestly, yeah, like a super highlight of the experience for me was talking to Dave.
I think it really settled down the nerves before the interview.
That's
like
true.
Or just got that kind of like... That, like, opening bit or that energy that you kind of have just kind of, like, went out, and it was very calming, and him with his little tee
and
his jacket.
So, yeah, we're gonna be playing that interview, and then we're also just going to be talking about the last couple things left over from VIF. I shouldn't say left over, but just things that we weren't able to get to because we had the wonderful opportunity to go to so many different VIF things this year, which was awesome. But I'm actually really psyched to talk about the film that Django and I went to that we didn't get a chance to talk about in our last episode. And I'm also going to talk about the William Basinski Archive and Jeremy Dutcher, Alanis Obomsawin double bill as well, which were super awesome. And I've been like dying to talk about it. But two last things to bring up in our first little bit before we play this interview, which is one that Shindig is starting next week. So that's CITR's annual Battle of the Bands. Whoop, whoop. Everybody give that a whoop, whoop.
Yeah, Shindig.
So, yeah, that's going to be running every Tuesday. So November 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. And then the finals will be the 5th of December, I believe. And that's really awesome. I had like an awesome chance to interview all the bands at Shindig last year, and that was like kind of a big deal for me. And I don't know, maybe you've listened to those episodes. What do I know? I don't know who you are. So yeah, Shindig is awesome. Please come out and celebrate with us. And we also have another event going on, an Arts Collective specific event that's also happening next week. So we have an exhibition going with the Hatch Gallery from November 4th to the 8th, which is right before reading week for us UBC students. And yeah, I'm really psyched about it. It's called An Ode to the Third Space, and submissions for art are actually still open. If you happen to be hearing this and you're like, oh my God, this is reminding me that I need to do that. Submissions are open until tomorrow at midnight, and then the gallery opens for the exhibition at noon on the 4th. So yeah, I'm super psyched about it. Do you guys want to introduce the interview that we did? Talk a little bit about that.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we went to the Biltmore Cabaret, which is on Main, and we basically just interviewed a co-headlining tour with Jaguar Sun and J.W. Francis, and what can I say? They were very chill, very nice guys. We had a lot of laughs. We played a game, which was fun.
We did.
Very fun.
We had struggles with our camera, but you know, if you follow the Arts Report on Instagram,
the struggles
you saw the
worked
photos.
Out for the best.
Yeah, exactly. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, follow
oh
us
my God,
on Instagram.
Turn around. There's Danny DeVito.
Oh my God.
There's a. Sorry, I had to say something. I hate to interrupt our flow, but. Wow, how is that?
It's like an LED face.
That's like probably a mask that you can change to be lots of different masks, yeah, right?
And he
like
chose Danny DeVito.
There's a person in the studio currently dressed in a normal looking outfit, but their face is covered with an LED Danny DeVito sign.
I've never seen an electronic mask like
you
that
know,
before.
Danny DeVito's face is always so welcoming, I find.
I was just watching Always Sunny.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Sorry.
Maybe
yeah.
That's his Halloween costume.
But I guess that's something else to plug, is that this week we've got a lot of events for Halloween with CITR.
Yes.
So tonight we have Scaryoki going on, and then tomorrow it's Guess That Song, which is super fun. It's going to be like trivia, but with music, and there's prizes, and it's going to be awesome. And then on Friday we're showing Rocky Horror with a little Rocky Horror costume getup. And it's free also if you were thinking about going to Rocky Horror at the Rio and you didn't want to pay $30. Come here on Friday.
Well, I know
free.
Something else that's happening on Friday.
Honestly,
if you know, you know.
Go for it.
Oh my God.
Plug it.
There's a haunted garden party on Friday.
Haunted garden?
Yeah,
is that what you're
that's
calling
the theme. For... That's the theme. Haunted garden. I can't tell you where it is. If you know, you know.
You're not plugging it if you're
no,
like not.
No, I'm not allowed to say. I'm not allowed
so
to say.
Funny.
I know.
I'm not allowed to say. But just that's all you need to know is there's a video. I can send it to you. Yeah,
there's
so,
a video that will be posted on the Arts Report Instagram.
Okay, I don't know about that. Maybe we won't go that far, but if you want the video, I can send it to you.
Hit up Django on his personal Instagram to get the video
DM
sent
me,
to
DM
you.
Me.
No, I finally saw it circulating on somebody's story today, and I knew it was official.
Oh, it's official.
It's been circulating.
Like that was my
the
invite,
mask is
you know?
Django. Can you move this way? Because like I keep seeing the mask when I try to look at you, and it's like freaking me out.
I need to take a selfie with it. I think.
Especially because the room we're in right now is like a little bit dark. The like shining LED lights are truly just like a little invasive.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's quite beautiful.
It is quite beautiful. Let's get back on track here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about J.W. Francis and Jaguar Sun real quick. I had never done an interview at the green room of the Biltmore before.
Yeah.
I've been to the Biltmore. I've done interviews, but never that specific combo. Crazy room.
Insane
that we were
room.
In.
The mirror?
Like, just
weird.
Yeah.
The mirror was, like, smeared.
Yeah.
But could you imagine if the interview, like, this interview, like, it was honestly incredible.
It
like,
was
the artists were lovely.
Yeah.
But I feel like if it, like, things had gone wrong and it just, like, wasn't the vibe, being in that room would have made it just
oh,
so
oh my
God,
it would have been terrible. Yeah.
It would have been super crazy.
So
and honestly, like, kudos to them for, like, being so chill in that room and, like, being interviewed and, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not losing their train of thought and not being like, Jesus, I need to get out of here.
No, like,
I was, like,
kind of
claustrophobic.
People.
Yeah.
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 And it was, like, that little, like, leather booth. Like,
yeah. Super classic, like, green room
vibe.
Mm. And we were talking beforehand, like, I wonder what their rider is, but
It was apples and oranges apples, and tortilla chips, which you can see. Salsa. You can see a low res image on our Instagram at Arts and Sports CHR.
True. Wait, did you post the?
Yeah, and for some reason that one just didn't work. But it's funnier this way, so we're keeping it up.
I feel like it added to the vibe.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Sweet.
We got a nice comment from Amelie saying that the photos leave a really they leave a very they're a very interesting collection of photos.
They really were, but it added to like the vibe of the interview. It was great. But yeah, shout out to Mr. Sun and Mr. Francis. They were great people.
And great performers. Yeah, yes. No, jinx.
No, they were so good. I always get his name mixed up. JW Francis, his show was like super like energized and he kept cracking jokes. What a funny guy. But then like Jaguar Sun, he brought in kind of like that like smooth tones and you were just you felt like you were astral projecting with that dream pop, you know?
Yeah. And the opener's voice was amazing too.
Paisler.
Vancouver local, right?
Vancouver local.
So, yeah.
She was actually super awesome. They paid her a lot of credit too, which I really liked. It seemed like everyone that was like playing that night had like a good energy going.
For sure.
Shout out James.
Shout out James.
The synth man.
With his whole family.
Shout out Dave. Honestly did an that was
Dave
great.
Did
Dave
a great
was
job.
Killing it.
Yeah.
I felt like so proud.
Yeah. Our day one.
Our day one. Badelman Dave.
No, honestly.
I hope he's doing well.
I hope he listens to this.
I hope his cough.
We'll be sending them this later.
I'm gonna find Dave and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly. So yeah, without any further ado, let's get into the interview here.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night! I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians! What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
It's working for photos, but I don't know if it's working for
video.
I
usually have more curls going on, and it's not so crazy.
Well, it's always crazy.
I'm sure the humidity here is doing something anyways.
That's true. I'll blame that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Seriously. How are you liking Vancouver so far, though?
It's been about an hour and a half.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh,
I
know. Oh,
yes.
Okay. First time for both of you?
No, actually, I played at Mile High Club in 2022.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah. No, I don't know where. Where's the 1,200 cap room here? It might have been...
Probably downtown somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, what about you?
I've been to Vancouver twice, but I haven't played here yet. So this is the first time coming for music specifically, which is
cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, happy hour and a half of being in Vancouver. That's awesome.
Yeah, got some banh mi. That was really good.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, we actually just got it before we came here.
Nice.
Where'd you guys go? Was it on the street on Main?
Ballet.
That was just so good.
Oh my god.
You guys
so
chose
good.
Well, for
yeah.
real.
Hell yeah.
Is it just down the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be one of these things, right?
It closes at 7.
Damn.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Everything closes like extremely early.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, this is your 10th stop on your tour. It's first time. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I feel like I wasn't keeping track. At least to my knowledge, this is the 10th stop. First Canadian stop, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but how's the tour like going for you guys so far?
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it's great. It's so far so good.
Yeah, it's been a dream so far. The shows have been sweet. The turnouts have been sweet. Mm-hmm. The people have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in separate bands, so we kind of have our own side quests every day. they went to go to the Delicate Arches, I think it's
called. Arches National Park in like Utah. Yeah, we've been making more like nature stops along the way on this one, which is
nature's
been...
videographers.
I have to. I need to get the best nature video. And it's been really nice because like I feel like last time we just kind of like bypassed all the cool stops, so we're trying to like make a point to like see some cool things.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, like, is the, I feel like the whole point is to just see who can get the best nature video. Really. I mean, you guys, since you're basically co-headlining together, what made you guys want to do this tour, like, as a duo?
I've been a big fan of Jaguar Sun for a long time, and, I mean, it's kind of part of why I got on the label that we're both on. I hit up Chris, and I was like, how do you like it? He said, I love it. So I said, okay, I'll do it, too.
Nice.
And then a tour was kind of just like a no-brainer, because...
Oh, yeah.
Do you want me to hold it?
It's okay.
Because we're both on the same label, yeah.
Yeah, it's Born Losers Records. Nice. What, like, what made you want to start it, then?
The tour?
Or just like the tour, Born Losers. Sorry, I, like, skipped ahead.
Yeah, no, I met Born Losers because one half of it is my manager. And at the time I was like looking to move on from the label I was previously on and just kind of like shipping things around. And then Chris, my manager, was like, hey, if you want to, you can release your next album through Born Losers. And I was like, yeah, like, sure. Like, why not? And they've been so sweet, amazing people to work with. Yeah. And then like with the tour, likewise, I've just been a fan of JW2. Like before you were on the label, I listened to JW a lot. So I was stoked when you reached out and asked about the guys. And then, as soon as you got on there, we kind of, this all just kind of came into place. Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah.
I wanted to ask something else about the tour, too, because I heard that you've gone nomadic officially.
Yes.
So you're 3 years in now to your 10-year pursuit. So how is that going so far? Are you looking forward to the next 7 years, or has there been any hiccups in that?
Oh, wait, 10 years? I'm going to be nomadic for 10 years?
That's
why
I deep dive.
Oh, crap.
You're like, I didn't mean to say that. No.
It's been great. I mean, yeah, I walked the Appalachian Trail, and that's what kind of like, I thought I was just going to go walk that and then go back to normal life and... Mm-hmm. It's just been like I've been on a runaway train ever since. I had one of my first big tours after that experience of living out of a backpack for 4 months, and tour was like a lot easier than living outside. And after that, it was like holidays. I was with family, so I was like, I'm not going to rent an apartment now. And then I had another tour, and it's just like I haven't meant to do it. It just keeps happening. Yeah. And... I have no plans to find a place to live, like, at least for, like, the next year, I'm like, I know what I'm going to be doing, and it's not living anywhere.
I feel like you guys were both big travelers. Was that, like, a kind of point of bonding for you both?
Well, a point of competition, for sure.
There can only be one.
Who loves nature the best?
And does nature and, like, that traveling and, like, being able to see these beautiful sights, how does that, like, influence your music or your creative process, at least? I'm sure that there is an influence.
Yeah.
It's such an innate, like...
Yeah. I think it's, like, you know, the source of everything. Yeah. And you just get that awe-inspiring. I mean, even when you're just driving up I-5... It's like coming into Vancouver, like just sights like that are so inspiring. You're like, wow, this is awesome to be alive.
Yeah, totally. Like, I feel like most calm when I'm like outdoors doing things. I don't do like the crazy big hikes, but like, I feel like nature is a huge like source of inspo just through like how much of a positive impact it makes on my life in general. Anytime I'm like up north in Ontario, it's like super inspiring. Yeah, I feel like it just trickles its way into the music.
Yeah, like, are there any songs, like, in particular off either of your albums that are actually inspired just from, like, the scenery that you've seen?
For me, Turtleneck Weather is one that is, like, directly inspired by, like, leaves falling and stuff like that.
Nice, I love it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, there's, like, Gray Skies, which is a pretty direct Rain Pours, too. Like, a lot of, like, water themes have sort of, like, made their way in. Maybe not lyrically, directly about, like, nature, but thematically, for sure.
But I was going to say, your new single, In the Moon, that's also quite, like, lyrically, directly talking about nature, though.
True, with Stray Fossa, That was a sweet project too. Like, working with them was amazing. Those guys are so sweet and so cool.
What made you, like, inspired enough to, like, did they ask you or did you ask them for, like, In the Moon, or was it just kind of like a collaborative effort?
They reached out to me, yeah. They had some, like, song ideas floating around. And, like, we've listened to each other for a really long time. Similar to, like, JW and I, like, I've been a fan of theirs for a while, also before they were on the label. And yeah, they are. Yeah, I know. It's like the family's growing. Yeah, and they had a pretty like fleshed out song, and then like they asked if I wanted to get involved, and I feel like I just added a little bit of spice in there and like got a bit of my mark on it. It was really cool. They're like the easiest and coolest people to work with.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, JW, track 9 off your album 2. Mm. I had a question about the title, Turtle Power. Mm-hmm. I think it's so rad, but I also like would love to know what it means.
Well, it's actually the name of a person I walked the trail with. Oh, their wow. trail name was Turtle Power. Nice. And their whole vibe was just like going slow, taking your time. And so that was, and having like power in that. And so... And plus, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and so...
Okay, wait, which's the favorite, though?
Oh, definitely the pizza one. Donatello?
Yeah.
Pizza yeah. For sure, for sure.
I love that, yeah.
We had a little game we wanted to play with you guys, Ooh. If you're open. So we did take kind of a look at your personal music playlists. Nice. And... we've kind of like examined some favorite artists yeah. here, favorite uh-huh. influences. So we're gonna play kind of a round of like this or that for each of you. But I thought it would be kind of silly if you did it for the other person.
Oh yeah.
And what you think their top would be, and then we can kind of debate.
Oh,
yeah, you don't know me at all.
Yeah,
or you know me so well.
Yeah, exactly. This could be like a tour ender at this point.
It could be. We haven't really got to pass the aux to each other, and like no, we're not in the same right? band. Right. Yeah.
Do you guys think that your music taste is very similar?
I would think, but I could see Chris like totally surprising me.
I feel like you too. I feel like you have like deep cuts.
I have deep cuts, but I'm pretty open book. Yeah. I feel like you listen to those songs, you're like, yeah, this guy likes this.
I mean, it was interesting to see your guys' playlist because you both had each other's music on there. So I was like, all right.
That's cute.
Okay, so who wants to guess first?
I'll guess first.
You want to guess first?
Yeah.
Okay, so for Chris,
yeah.
Do you think he likes Alex G or Starfucker better?
Ooh, I'm gonna say Alex G, but
okay.
It's just like intuition.
Alex G or the Velvet Underground?
Oh,
kind of a tough. Conclusion.
That is okay. tough because I'm like I'm pretty sure Chris likes Alex G, but I'd say that he. I don't know if he worships at the altar of Velvet Underground like I do though. I don't know. Yeah, I would say so. I would say Velvet Underground.
Okay. Oh.
I think that was the wrong choice. I'm just kind of choosing me now.
Velvet Underground or Big Thief?
Big Thief.
Okay, Big Thief or MJ Linderman?
Oh, I'd still say Big Thief.
Big Thief or Arcade Fire?
They're Canadian. Sorry. Well, okay, kind of. I would say, I don't know how you feel about like mid-2000s indie. You can't talk.
I don't know. I can't say anything.
I'll say Big Thief. Right. I guess Big Thief. I don't know why I'm like standing Big Thief so hard for Chris right now. They're great. But I just can't speak for Chris.
Big Thief or Slaughter Beach Dog?
Probably Big Thief still.
Is Big Thief your favorite?
Yeah, would you say?
Okay, if you like went through the chain... You landed in the right spot.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you actually did.
Okay, who?
Is there any that you would change?
Yeah.
Alex G over
Velvet Underground.
Velvet Underground.
Okay. I
and
feel
you like
I
some know. Alex G offline as well.
Yeah.
Alex super good.
One of my faves, actually, yeah. That's, you made it most... I feel like I'm such a casual Velvet Underground fan. Like,
okay.
I'm just, like, delving into that this year, so... You're right. Or no, you were wrong.
Well, I said I don't know if you worship there, and then I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready to guess?
Yeah, yeah.
You might have a little bit of a hint to which way you're
going. I know, here we go. I tell them you're on John here, I know.
Okay. I'm going to poker face you.
Hank Williams or Neil Young?
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams or Joni Mitchell?
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams or Lou Reed?
Lou Reed?
Sounds so hesitant.
I don't know. So like...
Okay, Lou Reed or John Prine?
Lou Reed.
You're covering your face.
I have to. I have to, like, whale face right now.
Okay. Lou Reed or Yola Tengo?
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed or Stereolab?
Stereolab.
Stereolab or William Onyebor?
Stereolab.
Stereolab, your favorite artist?
It's Stereolab, my favorite artist. I was surprised Dylan didn't show up on there. Lou Reed's probably my favorite artist.
Oh, okay. I was on the right track for a bit. I shouldn't have switched. I can't say Lou Reed through the whole thing.
I know. There was one Joni Mitchell would have won. That was the only thing I think you got wrong. Everything else was great.
Hank Williams.
Yeah, and also Neil Young over Hank. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, that was a good guess, but yeah, it would go Neil Young and then Joni, and then Lou.
We got quite a few Cancon on this list.
I know, seriously.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
100%. Do you feel that this experience bonded you guys even closer?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, actually.
Absolutely, yes.
Genuinely.
Totally.
Maybe you guys can, like, hang out in each other's vans.
No. I know we
can. Not that bonded. There's some competition. They can't reveal this. True. I mean, that's interesting that the Velvet Underground got brought up a lot, because a lot of sources that I was looking at said that they compared your music a lot to the Velvet Underground.
Yeah. Which basically means I can't sing well.
I don't know about that. I think it just means that you've got a good inspiration,
for
sure.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
How does it feel to be compared to your favorite artist?
I mean, it's great. It's anything that's not Mac DeMarco, I'm like, hell yeah.
Did you used to get Mac DeMarco?
Oh, man. Oh, I mean, like, yeah, if you're making 6 years ago, if you're making music 6 years ago with, like, a warbly guitar and you got a hat on, you're that guy.
Yeah. True.
It's like, of course, he's great, and another Canadian. So.
Yeah.
No. I love him. He's really great, but it just got tiring to, like, because it was just kind of like Mac Overload for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Mac Overload.
Yeah.
Album name. That's
Yeah.
That is great. Mac Overload. Pretty good. Totally. So what's your favorite song off of your new album?
Off of my new album, probably the last one, Picture That. Because it's just so different. Then there's always, like, one on my albums I like to do that's just, like, the outlier, and it's very different from everything else, and it's usually my favorite one.
Do you usually put that at the end? Because I feel like a lot of artists will do their finishing song to be, like, a more dramatic song.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to structure it like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I feel like that translates well to playing live as well.
Yes, absolutely.
If you happen to play in art, I don't know.
Totally.
But, yeah, sweet. What's your favorite song off this new album?
It might be Mississippi. I know I've heard some people shouting for it in the crowds.
Which is so nice.
Yeah, I like that.
I love that song. Turtleneck Weather, too. The whole thing is incredible, though. Mm. Yeah.
JW, what would you say is your favorite off of
Jaguar's Missing Out? Making Out?
Make Out.
Make Out. Yeah, make Out. Make Out. That's a really good one. The one you guys do last, too, always gets stuck in my head.
Time.
Is that an old one?
It's off, like, the first album,
It's so good. But all the stuff is so good. I mean, like, I was already, like, a fan, and then, like, seeing the show every night, I'm in love.
So, how did you guys actually meet? Were you fans of each other's work first, and then you just met through that? Because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're both kind of based out of New York for the most part.
He's definitely not.
Yeah,
he's,
I'm Toronto. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Fellow Canadian.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty much, I mean, I've just been a nomad for 3 years, so, but my storage locker's there.
Yeah.
Check
back in.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So how did you meet then, if you're not in, like, a physical space?
We met, I mean, on the store. It was the first time in person that we met, but we were just DMing before that.
Yeah, like, a while back, it must have just been an Instagram follow, like, mutual, like, follow on Instagram, and then messaging. Yeah. Like, before touring, probably when we started following each other, like, I had haven't really been in New York too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely wouldn't cross paths naturally.
Supernaturally.
Yeah. The Biltmore ghost, for real. But, Mr. Sun. I mean, I know that you also do graphic design, and I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that you did it before you started, like, your music career.
Yeah, for sure. I, like, went to college for design, got, like, all the way through it, started working full-time. My thesis project in college was working on an EP, and that's where Jaguar Sun started. It wasn't called that at the time. I had, like, three songs. It was, like, using that as my thesis project was an excuse to, like, record music on school time and get graded for it and then do all the design work for the album. But then when I graduated, I kind of, like, put those songs aside for a little bit, worked full-time design work at, like, a pretty boring tech company, and then slowly picked away at those three songs until they felt right and just tossed them out there. And then Jaguar Sun was born from that.
I love it. Yeah, no, I was looking at the art that you've made, and it like reminds me of, like, kind of Bauhaus vibe. Like, what would you say is, like, a art movement that you're kind of, like, struck by that, like, really inspires you?
Oh, geez. I feel like art history is, like, something that, like, went a lot, like, way over my head. I've got, like, random artists that, like, really inspire me today, and I don't know if they're a part of, like, like, Pat Perry is an incredible artist. I don't think my work, like, really resembles his, but I just, like, anytime I want to feel inspired about visual, like, stuff, like, look, I look at his paintings. They're all, like, they depict, like, the broken side of, like, the Midwest, like, rundown things in Detroit, and, like, his train hopping days, and, like, all these cool pictures and murals that he, like, does. I don't know. Super inspired by him. Yeah.
I kind of love that you said that your work is not that similar to his, because I think sometimes that's the best kind of, like, artistic inspiration, like, relationship, where you're like, oh my god, there's something about this that I, like, don't have in me that I love so much.
And
keep looking at it and keep thinking about it.
Totally.
It leads you to just create something different, but also, like...
Yeah, it's like the goal isn't to, like, emulate that. It's just, like, it's so cool that it makes me want to do my own thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, artists, like, musical artists that you feel that way about?
Ooh. Yeah. I feel like, and I find it, like, on the daily, too. Like, every time, like, a playlist updates on, like, Friday, I'm, like, finding new stuff that inspires me. Is there so much cool stuff out there? Like, every week I'm, like, inspired by someone, like, I've never heard of before, or, like... But then, like, you've got the core inspo, like... I mean, Big Thief would even be one of them. Frightened Rabbit, you got that. Frightened Rabbit, like, Real Estate, Panda Bear, like, all these OG, like, Youth Lagoon artists that got me into making music in the first place. But now it's just, like, a constant revolving door of, like, cool new music that, like, keeps me pumped to, like, make more.
Totally. What are you listening to right now? What's your song on repeat right now?
Ooh, the new MJ Letterman album is sweet. I've been listening to that quite a bit. Semi-Western. He's playing with us in Texas. I've just binged his whole discography, and, like, it's incredible. I'm actually so stoked to play together. Those two have been on a lot on this trip.
Nice. Mr. Francis, if you have an answer as
well. The Meaning of Love by Steve Coon. Okay. That's my track. That's it. I just listen to that a lot. Yeah.
Have you been asked that before? That's just like a true answer.
No, that's just a true answer. That's just, I've come back
and
to
what
that
is
one.
It about that track that you like so much?
Just listen, you'll let it speak for itself. It's just that good.
Wait, it's true. What is it?
The Meaning of Love by Steve Coon.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll play it we'll play it after the interview. On the Arts Collective.
I'll listen too. I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Mr. Francis.
Yes.
What is your opinion on everything bagels with scallion cream cheese?
Oh, finally, the question I've been waiting for. It is the perfect breakfast. I'm a sandwich man. I eat breakfast sandwiches, lunch sandwiches, and dinner sandwiches. I just had my dinner sandwich, my banh mi.
Oh, yes.
So the breakfast sandwich, I love an everything bagel with scallion cream cheese. Double toasted, please. That's that's my order. So I just can't speak highly enough about it. But I really don't get it anywhere but New York, because I'm that kind of guy too. Like, you know, pretentious about my bagels.
My follow-up question was, would you pick a New York bagel over a Montreal bagel?
Ooh, Montreal bagels are special. Yeah. They're kind of their own thing. I'd probably go more into like a tomato and sausage and something else. I just like the everything bagels, kind of cream cheese is sacred to me. And it's a very New York kind of thing. You got to boil the bagels. You got to do it. You know, you got to do it right. So.
We heard from Dave that there was a bit of an adventure out to Granville Island for some bagels.
Really?
Were you involved in a Granville Island bagel adventure?
I was not.
So maybe you should have been.
Wow.
So, no.
You guys went to an island?
I was there. I didn't get a bagel, though. I don't know when. I was on the island.
Shoot. I missed out on that.
What did you think of the island while you were on there?
It's cool. I like it.
It's under a bridge.
Yeah, it's under a bridge. Lots of nice little shops. I've been there before too, so it was nice coming back and seeing it again. Got a little souvenir for my girlfriend Gabby, and but I need to try the bagels, I guess.
Yeah, before you guys.
We didn't really get a review from Dave.
Yeah, we didn't get a review.
Yeah, we
should have.
Maybe he didn't like it.
Yeah. Bagel joke. How about, like, when they're on stage, we'll, like, scream it out, like,
Bagel, what do you think of the bagels?
Yeah. Just get the Zoom recorder up.
Yeah, and be like, sorry, we forgot to ask one question. Hold on, yeah.
What's been the most fun stop on the tour so far?
Chicago was really fun. Yeah. We both had crazy side quests. He played a wedding that day, and I did an audio tree session that day. We both had, like, a lot to do during the day, and we showed up to the venue, and it was sold out, and it was, like, just a movie-esque day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So wait, you were playing at a wedding?
Yeah. A couple reached out and they're really bummed that the show is the same day. So they asked if we'd be interested, and we did it. We like got to the venue like that we sold out in Chicago. We sound checked and then raced over to their wedding, set up, played like 7 songs. They did their first dance to Red, which is really sweet. And then got back in time for the show to start. And yeah, it was a movie. It's so hard to top nights like that. Chicago has always been so amazing to us, and probably same the here. Same for you. Yeah. So yeah, that was sweet.
They're playing Brad Stank. I hear Brad Stank everywhere. That's my homie in Liverpool.
Yeah. We almost did a tour with him too.
You did?
Yeah, we were gonna be opening, but then they had to reschedule.
Meredith is actually open for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanky baby. Anyway.
So, do you want to talk about your side quest?
Oh, my side quest was doing an audio tree session, which was super sick. Yeah.
And how did that go?
It went great. I was really nervous because it lives on Spotify forever. Yeah. So you're like, hope I do okay.
There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Is it really just like one shot and that's all?
Pretty
you
much. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you can be like, oh, can we do that one again? But it's. I mean, it used to be like live stream, so you really had no choice but to just keep going. But yeah, we did it one take, which was cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we also heard, was it through Dave as well?
And I was like, Dave's such an little
informant. We were just like, maybe our source. Yeah. Well, our source that was also in here while we were sitting here.
A little birdie.
Yeah, a little birdie told us that there was some malfunctions on, was it the first
some mishaps
show?
On mishaps? Your first night.
Yeah.
What happened on the first night?
But he was dark. Very impressed by your perseverance.
Exactly.
Oh. Like everything went wrong. Yeah.
So the night that's not okay. It was a different kind of movie.
Yeah. Physical comedy. Yeah. I broke a string.
All right.
My guitar didn't work for the first song. But then actually, and I fixed that, but then, like, actually I've gone back to not using my guitar for that first song.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed. Like,
it's so much kind of cool that way.
Funner. Yeah, it sounded way cooler. So that's, you know, that's the great thing about messing up is sometimes it's better than what you thought. But it's great to get the kinks out the first night.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Do you find that you, like, enjoy the mishaps?
Personally do. I think it's great. I think it's, like, especially if you, like, really lean into it and you're never, like, don't ever apologize to the crowd. You never be like, something's going wrong. Be like, this is the plan.
Just keep going. Has there been any major mishaps in your sets or no?
Oh.
Not to call you guys out for it.
Not
I'm
any.
Trying to humanize you.
Exactly. Yeah, not any major ones before. like, on this run, right before we left for this tour, we played a festival, and the entire sound system went down through our entire set. And they had to just flip our stage monitors around so the crowd could hear that. So that was a good one.
Wow.
We were just on stage. We had no idea what was going on. So we just, like JW said, you don't stop. You don't applaud. Yeah. You just, like, yeah. play. You do your thing. Mm-hmm. But on this tour, it's been, I mean, knock on wood, pretty good so far. But, like, anything happens, you just roll with it. It's never a big deal. Unless, like, every, like, I shouldn't say that. Knock on wood. Yeah. Yeah.
Car catches on fire.
You know, anything can happen. But
I mean, that's actually, I've had an amp, like, explode before. I mean, it wasn't an explosion. It was just, like, and, like, smoke. And it
Whoa.
Didn't
work anyway.
You could just blame it. You were just, like, shredding too hard.
I'm just, like, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's destroy the amps.
Yeah. So what's your favorite show that you've ever played, if you have one?
Ever played? I did this festival outside of Paris in France, and it was like the first time two things have ever happened. One is the first time someone like rushed the stage, like while there was like security there and stuff, and like rushed the stage and hugged me. And I was like, this is awesome. But the security guard started like rush that person, and I had to be like, don't hurt them. And like they just like scampered off, and that was like really funny to me. I was like, that's awesome. And also my guitar malfunctioned. Also like the little nut screw that plugs in like just like flew off. And during
yeah.
I know during the song I found the tiny little nut while I'm singing. I screwed it back on, plugged the guitar back in, and like came back right in with the solo, and I was like, that was so cool. So that was pretty sick. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my mom and dad were there, and that's awesome.
Huh.
So yeah,
do you have one?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if there's, like, a specific one, but I feel like some of my favorite shows are, like, weird ones where, like, even if it's a small show, like, we played in Bristol. We did our first European tour earlier this year, and it was, like, a smaller show, and I don't know why, but I just felt so in the zone and, like, so in the music. And those nights just come out of nowhere, like, where everything just feels like it locks in. Like, everything sounds so good. Just completely forget about everything else that's going on. And, like, there's no reason that that show felt like that. It just did. And they always stick in my head. But then there's, like, real highlights. Like, we sold out London when we played there. And it's just, like, such a trip to, like, be that far from home and sell out a show.
Yeah.
And that'll, like, stick with me forever. Like, yeah. There's a lot of shows that have made a pretty big impact on me.
I mean, that's pretty much it for our questions, to be honest. If you guys want to talk a little bit more about tour or your like music you've just released, please like feel free to add on, but in terms of our more abstract questions, that's where we're at.
Sweet.
Any upcoming projects in the mix that you can speak about?
I just came out with an album, which is sick. I just canoed the Mississippi River.
Yes.
Which I wrote an album while I was out there called Magic River.
Wow.
That I'm super stoked about. I'm about to go record that.
Yeah.
And then we're on tour. Come see us on tour. Yeah, we still got like 17 dates left.
Something like that. Yeah,
there's still a lot more dates.
Nice.
Yeah. Is there any like? Can we hope for any kind of collaborative project from you guys?
With this guy. I mean, could very well be in the cards.
Yeah.
I like him.
Also like JW.
Yeah, I could totally see it. Especially, like, you know he makes pedals, too?
You make pedals? Nice.
So James, our synth player, he builds pedals, and then I've been designing them. And we had some for sale at like on this tour.
Wow.
And they sold out, like, way too early. We should have made more. We made, like, 20 of them. They're all gone now. But, yeah. That was cool.
Thank you. welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Stuff.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. Shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nardor to you and Serviette and doo-doo-loo-doo.
Doo-doo. Thank you!
Lethal Refresh. Every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Teach one. Take some, take that one. I can eat some. Ducking in my low tide. Yeah.
The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
Hello and welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Serena. I'm here in the studio with Django and Lily and Maya. And it's awesome. We're in the station live right now and there is some scary-oke going on. Halloween. Oh my gosh. And we forgot
it's
one of the things.
Very scary.
We forgot one of the things we were going to plug because we had so many awesome events going on.
What do we?
Which is that we're doing a secret fill-in Halloween slot tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow from 1 to 2.
Tomorrow from 1 to 2, Thursday the 31st from 1 to 2.
Oh my gosh.
Secret episode. And it's
we might have
really
some crazy guests on.
We might have some super crazy guests.
Like you would not like think that
you would not believe.
Oh my god, you will not believe the guests that we have coming on.
Like, and you will not believe.
Like, yeah. Honestly, some that
you
could
won't
even
be convinced.
Yeah, no. I know you will. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will.
Some that could be reincarnated, maybe?
Yeah. Or not.
Or some that you think maybe are dead, but they're not.
Yeah,
they're just,
oh,
like,
they're just
yeah,
kind of old.
That's
and then
hint.
You have to Google after,
you're
is
like, oh,
this
are they really
alive?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then like Betty White. I feel like I remember she, like
she,
her dying,
she
but like,
died.
She
yeah.
died.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah. Yes. Well, I didn't know we were all to keeping tabs.
And oh, yeah.
You guys answer really quick.
Yeah. Only
well,
on your
I know my, I know, is it Golden Girls? I know my Golden Girls.
Yeah. She was the dumb one.
Oh. No.
And the Golden Girls, that's what she
And
knows.
She lived the longest.
Yeah.
So
hey,
let's think
that's
about
what
that.
They, you know,
let, exactly.
Let's think about freaking
Take
out.
Take that.
You know.
Steve's London secondary school people.
Yeah.
I couldn't do math.
I mean, by the end of our secret episode tomorrow, I think people are going
to
be
from
like, wow. Yeah, from
1 to
2. People are going to be like, wow, they really know their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, they're really professional.
Get your harmonicas ready.
And speaking
yeah.
of things we know.
Oh.
And denim jackets.
We yeah. know other things, too. We know things about VIF.
We know things about VIF.
Because we met. And
it
we was
went
awesome.
To a,
we
yeah,
went to VIF.
It's really good.
And we know things now.
We should, we need to, let's
so,
let's talk about
let's
it.
Talk,
let's talk about
let's
it.
Let's talk about it.
Me and Serena saw Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat.
Which was awesome.
Which was really good.
Probably
it was
one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. Documentary about the United States' role in the Congo.
Yeah.
In the 60s, yeah, Patrice Lumumba's
yeah.
like the overthrowing of his government, the coup.
Exactly.
And then it had this really cool thing where it interplayed jazz music and the American influence of jazz music, and which like at some points was kind of like, to me, I was like, oh wow, like how are they going to tie this in?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like very well used as a story beat to keep the thing going, like very quick paced, which to me, like as a viewer, was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool how they're like put in the jazz in, but I was like, oh, how is this gonna tie into the story?
Yeah,
and there were some pretty crazy things how it tied into the story.
Okay, yeah. Wait, let me read out a little piece from the website that kind of describes the role that jazz played in
mm-hmm.
like this like historical and political debacle. I think it pretty much sums it up better than I would be able to. So, quote, as black jazz ambassadors are performing unaware amidst covert CIA operatives, the likes of Armstrong, Nina Simone, Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, and Melba Liston face a painful dilemma, how to represent a country where segregation is still the law of the land. So basically they're sending these black jazz artists in as part of like an American like imperial cultural mm-hmm. mission to be like, oh my God, America's awesome. Like, look, America's great, to these African countries that were being completely like quashed by American imperialism. So it was this really strange like cultural like brainwashing almost.
Yeah, and it was like, because a lot of the African countries in that time, like the Pan-African countries, there was the Soviet influence as well, or not necessarily Soviet influences, we see like the American sphere of influence, but like that they were getting funding because of their, you know, like quote-unquote socialist ideologies, even though Patrice Lumumba says you know, things that differ. He just cares about like Pan-Africanism. But the thing to me that was really, really cool was like the, we're not cool in a, not cool, but like that I didn't know about, like the Louis Armstrong concert was fully a way for the CIA to get into that country to like spy. And it was like, Whoa. Oh, Louis Armstrong's performing in the Congo.
Because, no, because it was actually crazy. They sent all these artists on these like, across these
all
countries,
Africa, pretty
this,
much. Yeah.
This big tour to be like, we're bringing like awesome American music and awesome American culture to everyone. Like, and it was like, at face value, a positive thing. It was like, oh my God, yes. Like, this is a very important musician of our time. This is a really cool opportunity. And they're obviously trying to appeal, I'm using air quotes here, trying to appeal to like African countries by using African like descent musicians and trying to be like, look, like, you know, like we're not racist. We have awesome like people with awesome success stories. But obviously that made the artists, as they were like going on these shows and figuring out, oh my God, these are literally plots to undermine countries' independences, like actual political independence from their colonizers, like the Congo with Belgium, like literally working for their like historical and present day colonizers to keep them like not independent. And so it's like, oh my gosh, how do I as a black American kind of navigate this position that I've been placed in, where on one side I have the CIA breathing up my neck and like literally using my concert as a way to
spy
fully and like commit murder.
But then on the other side,
it's like, you know, like what, how do I deal with this
morally? You can't really.
And you can't. And the answer is,
and the answer is that CIA kind of rules everything and they can't do anything. But
and they won every time, at every turn. CIA, at every turn. It was actually insane because they had like UN footage from this.
Also,
like,
lots of the UN, like the UN was mistreating the whole situation. Yeah. Like super obviously being controlled by the Americans. And like Malcolm X has a thing where he's like, the United States only has one vote in the UN in the beginning. And it's kind of like that puts them as a level playing ground compared to all these other countries who are just getting out of colonialism.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it's like, well, maybe they had more than one vote and they kind of controlled the whole thing.
Yeah.
So really, really nuts.
Yeah, really crazy. But I thought it was told really well. And like, there's a lot of historical footage that was like so insane that they were able to use that and able to like put that in. And yeah, I thought it was really well done. It was like, I feel like the people in the theater were like kind of an interesting crowd too.
It was an older crowd for sure. And
which
it was
is
a lot of
totally awesome and great. Also, we went to like a matinee show. Yeah. So like really, you know, what would we expect?
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to see the reactions of the crowd to the images on the screen and see how like vocal, like people were jeering, you can tell it was a moving film.
Yes.
Because people were like, oh my God, like turning to each other and talking and like, like tisking and like, it was crazy. So
some laughing at stupidity of politicians.
I want to quickly acknowledge, because I unfortunately haven't left enough time for this. And I mean, I guess that's the beauty and the pain of this situation of having so many awesome things to talk about and so much great content on this show, is that I've kind of neglected two other VIF events I went to. So I'm just going to cover them really, really quickly. But I went to see William Basinski's Arcadia Archive, which I wasn't aware of what I was going to fully, I don't think. And it was really interesting, but it wasn't like what I thought it was going to be, but he's a famous ambient composer. So I thought that it was going to be archival, like, film footage from, like, his studio in the 70s in New York while he was starting to make some of the pieces that he's known for. But it actually was, archival tapes, as in, like, music tapes, not tapes as in film tapes. So he was playing this ambient music from the 70s, essentially. And it was really beautiful, and it was also, like, a huge turnout for that, which was, like, really cool to see this, like, ambient community in Vancouver I didn't totally know existed. But, yeah, were you going to say something? Okay. And then the other show that I went to was, actually, maybe it's, like, for the best that I'm not really getting into this, because I don't know how I could even begin to do justice to this. But Jeremy Dutcher and Alanis Obomsawin. And Alanis Obomsawin is, I think, 93. Whoa. And she hasn't played a show since, like, the 70s.
Wow.
And it wasn't her talking about her work in film, because, like, for me, that's where I knew her from, was her documentary work. It was her singing songs, like, her original songs. Whoa. She has an album that she released, and she started out as a singer. Her album's called Bush Lady, and she played, like, the song from, like, the eponymous song from that as well. And yeah, her voice is so strong. She's literally 94, but it was actually incredible. And then, yeah, Jeremy Dutcher just won 2 Junos. So they're, like, an incredible two-spirit artist, like, super up and rising. I don't even want to say up and rising, but, like, really important Canadian musician right now. And yeah, it was just a beautiful performance. I don't think I can even, like, do justice to what it was. But for me, I only really knew about Alanis Obomsawin. I wasn't, like, entirely well-oriented with Jeremy Dutcher's work, but their work was, like, amazing. Like, they were an incredible musician, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think that they were, like, Juilliard trained, or maybe, like, Berkeley. So, yeah, they're, like, really incredible. Yeah. I kind of hastily covered that, but we're basically out of time now. Unfortunately, if anybody knows me in real life and wants to hear more about that show, I will talk to them gladly and lovingly. Yeah, so thank you so much for listening to this episode today. And if you tune into our silly little Halloween episode tomorrow too, that would be,
please tune
from
in.
From 1 to 2.
That would be amazing.
And
so,
submit your art. Tomorrow's last day.
Please.
Do it.
Do it.
We want to see everything you create and everything you make, because I'm sure it is beautiful.
Oh, literally. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome exhibition. I'm super excited. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, guys. Everybody have a good night and happy Halloween.
Love.
Bye.